Great.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Let me just set up a timer as well. But 5 minute warning will be good. Jeff was unable to get a speaker this week, so he asked if I'd just step in. And yeah, not a problem. And Judith, compulsive overeater and recovering from self-alcoholism and creating chaos. And Al-Anon was actually my first program that I walked through the door about 35 years ago. That's where I first learned about the 12 steps. So yeah, it's probably apropos that I turned to page 59. And I noticed that between 59 and 76, they've pretty much given us the solution. And that's pretty amazing, really. Considering they spent the first 68 pages of the book telling us we have a real problem. But what I wanted to really speak about, I think, was I was doing a meditation this afternoon, and I was listening to a teacher, and it was real clear that I come up short. And then, of course, step seven is about, you know, really taking a humble approach to seeing where I've come up short, and that, you know, that the I that I came to know is not going to be able to manage it or change it ever. And it was an interesting question that the teacher asked, just about, you know, one test one can do to see if one is having a thought or a feeling or pain, or would the pain with life, like, would you be able to be with this the rest of your life? And it was, is this the sort of a test of humility? And I could honestly say many things yes, and some things I'm not sure. You know, because I'm on a, you know, right this minute, I can accept just about everything right this moment. Maybe that's really all I have to. I could see I was already questioning, like, my injury. No, I don't know if I can handle that the rest of my life. And I was already back within a second, back into, I would have to handle it. And so this brought me back to this question of, a friend of mine, Billy D, he said a long time ago in BBA, long, long time ago, he said to me that we're all up against a sort of a self-made false sense of self. And I didn't know what he meant much then. And I journeyed on until I did kind of start getting what he was meaning. And so I just thought I'd talk a little bit about, like, the humbleness was so obvious to me in step one. In food addiction, it was really easy for me to see, like, there was a real need of admittance. Like, I had to get humble in order to really see, I can't eat certain things, I can't eat certain ways, and I can't eat certain amount of food. Like, after a certain amount of food, I just lose it. And generally my body can't weigh a whole lot more than it does now, because it goes into some kind of compulsive activity after that. And, you know, and I could see that on my own resource and mind, there was absolutely no way to stop any kind of thought that was coming. And now I can see too, with having been through chaos creating emotional sobriety stuff quite a while now, well, not quite a while, a little while, I say a very little while actually, but a few times, that's what I meant, was that there is absolutely nothing I can do about the thoughts that pass through my head. And the problem has been is that I thought they were all real and that I had to act on them or follow them at least. And in following them, they gave me extraordinary stress levels, even to follow them, not even to do anything about them. And then to start to see that perhaps they actually aren't as real as I think, and they're actually not as permanent as I thought. And this has been great news for me. And it's been humbling, because I thought everything I thought was useful, because, you know, I came from as the big book says, I've been in the business of a security system since I was a child, trying to run my own experience. There's one line that really, and it stood out to me as I was reading with somebody yesterday. on page 59 that it stood out to me, and I noticed, oh my gosh, it's on top of the steps. And that was really humbling too, that, you know, it was humbling enough for me in step two, of course, to realize I did believe in a power. I just really, I had a big disconnect to what that actually, or the experience of that power was. I knew in my mind, but I couldn't have the experience so much as. Anyway, at the top of the page, it says, but there is one, and I never seen before, last week it was when I first noticed, but the capital O, one, and who has all power, and that O, capital O, one is God. May you find him now. And recently I've been going through a very deep opening to what that one experience is about, and finding that when I feel there is no lack, which, you know, is kind of what this person was talking about today, when I feel an absence of lack, I feel like it's just one. I feel one with the one, and or one in the one. And then sometimes I feel like this, there's a real peace. When there's a real sense of peace, it's very humbling to have no need to seek it anymore, but just to be in it now, not to seek something, just to be in it, all of it, I guess. When I sense that, like when I'm in my garden, I know you know my seedlings, my little babies, but when I'm in my garden growing my own, and sometimes getting a little carried away with it, I do feel very one with, like there is no separation between me and the little plants. I talk to every plant on the way down the path. It's very cute, but it's such a beautiful love experience. It's a real love. I have a real love of my Acer trees, a love of my plants, a real love. Like I love my husband, like that much love, you know, like that much love. It just exudes out of me. And when so I'm coming to this humble space of what maybe oneness means, because I was very mistaken, and the steps are easy pointers now to show me that, like step three was all about how bloody separate I feel and felt most of my time, including ill decades in program, running myself around being kind and nice, or running myself being not so kind and nice. And that was to you, to me, to God, to everything. And seeing that all this thinking business, all this self-made ideas and self-made plans and self-made feelings and all the memories I kept holding on to, and they were just separating me further, and they weren't getting me any closer into this oneness that I really... Somebody asked the other day, like, is abstinence the most important thing in your life, bar nothing? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like experiencing God as one experience where I am, it is, and there is no separation. That is the most important thing in my entire life now. That will guarantee abstinence to some degree, right? Yeah. And they were asking me because they were concerned about the emphasis in their program around the food, you know, the food. Anyway, we're not going to go there right now. But anyway, so, you know, and in step four, so there's a huge humble experience going on, and they get us really ready because they want us to admit the truth. And they want us to, in step four, get ready to admit something that's really important. And I see it, and I saw it in the first time ever in decades of program. I saw the character that I had created in my mind, acted out what I thought. And then that got so caught up, just like my food addiction. I'm one of those food addicts where I ate so much sugar, fat, and salt and flour, I could not get back. I went to the moon on an expedition and I couldn't get back into orbit to get home. I just couldn't. Physically, I'm not probably ever going to be able to. And it's like an alcoholic. And the same thing with, it's like after a while, this thought process, this emoting problem, this this way of what I thought I was because my thoughts said I was, you know, they got to a point where they'd gone wrong, like seriously off kilter. And then the nature of this Judith, me, got very lost in the mix. And until it got cleared, it got clearer, and then it got cleared, and then it's clearing. And yeah, I can't even say words really, but it asks us to go looking for the mistake that was first made, early made, thanks, and be entirely ready then. Like, so I know my nature was like a wrong path, an alternate path, that's all. But the nature, the essence of who I am exists. It never, ever could not exist. And so it didn't take that much. It took willingness and honesty and openness, of course, to really bear my, like just bear down, bear. I don't know what it was really. I was just willing. I actually didn't feel it was effort because I was wanting to do it so deeply. And that after I just came off of two rounds of steps, but I just went in again with some other questions and they really moved me. And then I was like in a space where it's like, I want to be in of and as that care of that power, in of and like to let, not even to let, but just to be so open to it being the decisions that have to be made, because there's too many decisions. I get very overwhelmed quickly when I start making them up in my head all the time. But my rational thinking can come much clearer when I'm not full of my own mind. And then humbly asked this, for me, him is, it's okay, God, for me more, it's like the is of everything, the isness, to remove, or it's like to remove, to move through me that where I keep coming up short, like that which keeps short circuiting in my system. And that's the step is all about humbleness. It's like, I see, like, I know, I'm given this kind of seeing and knowing now where the contraction in my being or body, or it just contracts. I get it. Like if that's going on, then it's my head is happening. My head is happening. And I'll die from that. I am absolutely clear. That will get me much faster than any kind of compulsive eating. The compulsive eating will take me out. I know it could. But this stuff, this will get my body faster, my health faster than anything. And I'm already come from an extraordinary stressed out background and a stressed out family. And I've lived in a stressed out way. So you know, and then I guess the next steps, 8 and 9, are a test in a way to see, you know, like the greatest amends, somebody said, is to offer the gift of love. And I have to experience love. Like I said, I love my plants. I love my husband. I love some of my family in a way that is like without thinking, without wondering, without doubting. But what about loving all and everything and accepting the exact situation at the exact moment when nothing needs to change? And that is, you know, I am still disturbed by many things, because my mind gets disturbed by those things, and I'm powerless, and I can go back to step one at any time. I can be in my steps all day long. Like I'm powerless over that which just passed through my head about a particular political situation. I try to read sensible things once every week, but, you know, I have, you know, lack of discernment sometimes. I sense lack sometimes. These are all moments when I can't really say that I'm in the love of everything in of what's available, because I'm pulled back out again in a sense. Anyway, I'm on that path, or I don't know if it's a path. I'm not seeking anything more. I'm just this experience is to be in it. Just be, let it be, let it come. I just wrote that to somebody yesterday who was this morning, who was struggling with something very deeply. And I said, let it be and let it come. And I'll finish up there. Is just because it's really clear between those pages 59 to 76, the trade-off, the cost, far outweighs any benefit of me holding on to this, thinking that there is two gods. Judith is God, and then there is God, and there isn't. It's actually never been proven to me now that Judith being, or says I got to quit playing God, but really that's just Judith putting up a character that thinks there is no other God coming, when the only God, in my experience, didn't leave. It was just how I came up short in the character I developed in my head that isn't real. And so I'm in that space now, and it's a beautiful, more peaceful space with a whole bout of angst sometimes. And it's all good. May I arrive at that place where when my teachers asked, could you accept everything as it is if it was going to happen forever now? I would like to be able to answer yes, and be honestly, humbly meaning it. And I'm growing. I'm just in the grow. I'm growing. This is the growing bit. Thanks, Pass.